something.
My father always used to say, happy fiscal year. Happy fiscal year.
What, celebrated on April 15th or April 1st?
That's July 1st is fiscal year.
July 1st? Why July 1st fiscal? Now, when you do your tax on April 15th, it all depends on what happened until yesterday. All right, let's learn. Pasuk Ches Vayidvar Hashem El Zecharya Lemar Koyma Hashem Tzvokes Lemar Mishpat Emes Shifaytu. Now this, according to some of the commentators, is a continuation. And that would be, you know, we Michal, and we like to talk about the Christian Perakim. Or, this is not a Perak, I take that back. What I just said was foolish, because there's a Parsha Stuma here. Okay, what I just said was foolish. That doesn't make any sense. But over here, there's a problem. The problem over here is that we have over here a Samach, which means this is the Parsha Stuma, which means this is a new section to a degree. A Parsha Stuma is like a paragraph. A Parsha Psucha is like a new chapter. And according to some of the Mefarshim that we've learned yesterday, the last 2 days, what it says here in Pasuk Ches and Tes is a continuation. This is a part of the conversation. This is not a new nevuah. This is not a new section. We will see that there is difference of opinion. Is this Vayhi Devar Hashem El Zecharya Lemar a brand new nevuah which took place in a different day, a different time, and whatever the reason, not every nevuah are we told the date. We do have the previous nevuah. We were told the date because that was something very, very important to know in reference to the building of the Beis HaMikdash, whatever the reasons may be. But most of the time, the vast majority of the time, we do not get a specific date as to when the nevuah took place. So here, we do not have a specific date. We could assume this took place at some point in time in his life. When? I don't know. This maybe took place when he was young, when he was old. And in fact, this Ein Mukdam Mu'uchar B'Torah, and that certainly includes many of the prophecies of the Nevi'im. Very often we have a reference in the Mefarshim that different prophecies that were told to the Nevi'im were not told in the order of the Sefer. It's not an order. It took place later in his life, earlier in his life. So here, if we are going to suggest that this Nevuah has absolutely nothing to do with the previous Nevuah, this Nevuah could have been said to Zechariah at a different point in time in his life. Or maybe, no, this is taking place at the moment. This is a direct continuation of what we learned yesterday. The people sent a question from Bavel, should we fast on Tisha B'Av? And the entire discussion, who sent the message, v'chulu v'chulu, and Hashem said, the answer is, Hashem gave some very sharp, stinging mussar. Do you think that when you eat, when you drink, when you fast, it affects me? It does not affect me. So what are you asking? And we had many different opinions as to exactly what was the nature of that question. What exactly, what was Hashem's response? Whatever it was. And then Hashem at the end of that nevuah says, what I really want from you is to listen to my mitzvahs. I want you, im shemoya tishma, if you listen to what the Nevim HaRishonim said back in the day when Yerushalayim was Shaleva, the Hashkeit, the Vetach, and the Negev, the Shvela. Now the question is, what it says now in this next section that we're reading right now, is this a continuation? It's happening at the moment, and you'll have to ask yourself then, why then would there be a break of a stuma, 9 blank letters, and why again does Hashem have to start again? Vayhi Dvar Hashem, Givi Dvar Hashem El Zecharya Lemar, Koyamar Hashem Tzvokas. I mean, we're already part of the conversation. You don't have to go do this all over again. And that would really seem to indicate that there is a stuma, that this is a completely different nevuah. But if that's the case, why then is it a parsha stuma? It should be a parsha pesucha, a pei, not a samach in between these two parshas, which would require that this parsha begin on the beginning of the next line. So this is something which we have to keep in mind when we see the farshim to see how they deal with this section exactly when it was said, and if indeed it is a continuation. Now, what does it say? Koyam Hashem Tzvokas Leimar Mishpat Emes Shifaytu. Common theme, I want you to judge with words of Emes. Emes is critical. We, you know, we certainly get an appreciation of that. That's going to be the big, the January is going to be the big month in America. That's going to be a Musa Haskell. Trump has made it very clear. He ain't going down without a fight. He's not going down without a fight. And it's something very good to learn. Whether he wins or loses, which all the big experts, whatever, it's not a political Sunday morning football over here to talk politics, but it's going to wake up the world. The whole world is watching. And he's not going down with the fight. And he's going to wake up the world to teach the world something very, very important. Emes. To search for Emes. That is a very worthy quest is, even if he loses bad, but it's a very good exercise for us to observe that in this world, MS is worth something. It's not about what you can get away with. It's about what's real. There's nothing more real than MS. I was just talking to someone yesterday, so I reminded him what, you know, Lahavdil Elif Alfe Havdolos on exponents. Prince, who was it? Who was it? Either William or Harry was maspid, his mother, Princess Diana, not that long ago on her yard site. So what were the grace words of Divrei Zikaron, Azkara, that he said for his mother, Princess Diana, grace, you know, the grace of Chachma that she left over into for this world, for all of us. He said, I think it was Harry. No, I think it was William.
It's all right.
Married to Kate. Married to Kate. I think he said that my mother once told me, you can be as naughty as you want, just don't get caught. That's all it's about. Don't get caught. Be as naughty as you want. Sheker. Just get away with it. Sheker. That's her legacy. You can be a shakran. Just make sure you don't get caught. That's not the way it goes.
It's worse than that, because you have now the idea, well, you have your truth and I have my truth, which people talk like this, and which is a perversion of the word.
Exactly. That's how bad it's got. That's how bad it's got. Total denial of even what to define what is truth. 1 + 1, we don't even agree on what 1 + 1. It's not a question of what happened. It's a question of what does 1 + 1 equal? Does 1 + 1 equal 2, or does it equal 10? Okay, it's literally that's what we're down to. How do you count?
We're not talking about voting here, are we?
Talking about everything. So oh, okay. MS, Koyama Hashem Tzvoka Islema, Mishpat MS Shifaitu. Living in this generation, you can appreciate what this means. Judge with MS, at least judge. You know, it's very interesting, this whole thing with Trump. I think the court has denied him, I think they counted 52 times. 52 cases were presented in front of various courts, the district courts, the appellate courts, the Supreme Court. 52 times was a claim submitted, and all 52 times the court said, no, we don't want to be bothered with this. We don't even want to hear what you have to say. Could you imagine if you go to a rav? You have a rav in a shul. You hire a rav. You pay your tax. You pay your membership dues. And you go to the rav and you say to the rav, Rabbi, I have a shaila. No. I don't want to hear your shaila. I don't want to hear it. I don't even want to hear the shaila. Go to another rabbi. I don't even want to hear the shaila. I mean, what are you here for? What are you here for? What do we hire you for? I have a question. So so just listen to what I have to say. And if you tell me the halacha is you lose, okay, that's the way it goes. You can't win them all. 52 times in the court system where something that is so significant as to who the President of the United States is presented, and 52 times the court says, no, we don't want to hear. We don't want to hear. I don't know about you. Something doesn't sound right to me. About so say, yeah, what do you have to say? Yeah, let me see the evidence. Listen, you can say, listen, it's we don't trust the evidence, it's sheker. We don't trust the evidence, sheker, or it's too late. At least look at the evidence. Listen to the she'ela. Listen to the she'ela. Over here, it says shefaitu MS. At least in this time, they judged. Could you imagine? Over here, it says in this time period, The judges listen to the case. A balabas comes to the dayanim. The balabas has standing. What do you have to say? You have a problem? Yeah. Okay, let me hear the case. Okay, you lose. Get lost. Corrupt judges. Corrupt. They at least listen and they say sheker. They say. Could you imagine a system of government where you don't even listen to a case 52 times, something that is so relevant? There are 70 million people that have at least want to be heard. most of them, the vast majority of the 70 million people will be very happy, will be very satisfied if the court says we listened and we decided that you lose for very many whole list of reasons. I think many people will be very satisfied with that. Okay, at least you got your day in court. What's going on over here? Shefaitu, it says Shefaitu MS. First of all, judge. Then after you judge, you better make sure that it's MS. It's not corrupt. Mishpat MS Shefaitu. The Chesed Verachamim, kindness and mercy, Asu Ish Es Ochiv, one man to his fellow. Notice the order. The order is critical. Yeah. The order is critical. Priorities. The priority is first MS. The priority is not first. Is not first Chesed Verachamim. All of this political correctness of who gets the vaccine first is Chesed Verachamim Asu Ish Es Ochiv. And then we'll decide MS, who's entitled to, who's entitled al derech MS. There's a derech MS, who really, with something that's true. And then there's, besides being true, then there's chesed v'rachamim, to go out of your way to do things to people that don't deserve it. When the priorities are out of order, then the world is over. The world is literally over. Now, according to halacha, very interesting, according to halacha, a person on death row, someone very intelligent, who I disagree with almost everything he says to me. He's a very Erlich person. He was very close to my parents. And he voted for Biden. And he hates Trump with the sinas mavis. And he believes, everything he said, everything that we talk about, I keep my mouth shut, very polite to him. But one thing he told me very good, one thing he says to me is that the vaccine, he says, the people in the prison system, they have priority. And he says to me, what would halacha say about this? This is not a halachic state. This is a secular state. But what does halacha say about a person who's on death row? A person who's a ratzeach, and it was decided that he's on his way out. He's on his way out to be executed. So he quoted a Gemara that says a person's on his way. I don't remember all the Maimarich. He told me all these Maimarich Chazal, which he wants to basically prove that a person who is a criminal and who is deserving of a certainly committed murder has no priority in being saved versus other people who do not commit crimes. He tried to develop this thesis that according to halacha, people who are hardened criminals, especially murderers.
It's because of Nitna Hatzilo Benafsho, and therefore he's dead man walking. So he's like a dead man already, since he's already going out to be executed. So it's like he died already. So
if you kill a person who's on his way to be executed, Yichai Zerchiv Misa, a person, is that the law of Gemara?
Yeah, it's a whole thing. It's a whole block Gemara there.
Right, it's a whole. He was. I couldn't pick up everything he was saying, but he said that according that this will be a halachic state. It's a very fascinating thing, a priority. You know, all these articles. I don't even imagine had such kiddin like triage. These are like old shilas from a long time ago. They all now become very practical, and the corruption comes where the priority is in the wrong order, where it's first chesed. V'rachamim asu ish es ochiv. That's priority one. Priority two is emes. Mishpat emes shefaitu. That's wrong. First comes emes. Then comes chesed v'rachamim asu ish es ochiv. A lot of the things that we see today in society is a very good society. There's a lot of chesed. It's really the feeling to be good, to help, is incredible amongst you know the people in all sides of the spectrum. But priorities are priorities. First comes MS. Then, after the MS is fully accounted for, then comes chesed and rachamim. It's beferish in the pasuk. Next.
Can I just make a point here? these psukim, this one and the next one, and there are a number of others like it. We have a lot of Jews, I would call low information Jews, among us, and what they know of Tanakh, they lift out psukim like this, and they say, you see, the words of the prophets show that, you know, I'm talking about the Tikkun Olam crowd, and Judaism is based on social justice. So everybody has to become social justice warriors. And just because of things like this, and they don't even have the basic understanding of what these Tikkun mean.
Chanukah is about light. Remember that?
Yep.
Pasuk Yud. The Almana, the Yosoim Ger, the Ani Al Ta'a Shoiku. A widow, an orphan, a ger. What kind of ger are we discussing? A ger tzedek, I'm assuming. The Ani Al Ta'a Shoiku, do not extort. Oishek is extortion, which basically what it means is you can get away with it. On the books, what does Oishek means? I want to buy you. I see a very nice shiny object. I want to buy it. The person says it's not for sale. I'll pay you double. It's not for sale. You take out a weapon and you say to him, "Here's the money and give me the item. Sign the document." You give him the money. You give him double what it cost, and the person signs the document, and you take the object. The fellow then goes to court. He's a ganav. He stole my object. The fellow put, "What do you mean I stole your object? I paid you double. Look at the receipt. I have the receipt in my pocket. You signed on the dotted line." The judge says, "Case dismissed. Nothing to talk about. You paid." That's called oishek. Oishek is a crime that you get away with. It's the perfect crime. That is really oishek.
Perfect.
Yeah, the perfect crime. What's a perfect crime? A crime that you can, that you do get away with. Isn't that what oishek is? Extortion. What is extortion?
Extortion, oppression.
What is really extortion? You have the fellow.
I understand what extortion is.
So that's what called al ta'ashoiku. It means you commit crimes that you're able to get away with. You structure the crime in such a way. V'ro'as ish es achiv al tachshavu bil vavchem. And the evil of one man in his heart, do not think, the evil of one man against his friend, don't even think. And this is a shocking statement, where a Navi says to Klal Yisrael, "I'm making demands on your thoughts. Don't worry, the Democrats are going to come after that also one day. They'll tell you not even to think a certain way," right? They probably already do. It's not enough just the way you behave. It's also how you think.
Well, if you express an opinion. That's thinking.
Okay.
So the evil, don't express
evil opinions. Don't espouse evil thoughts.
Opposition opinions.
Pasuk Yeralf. Vayim mo'anu. And now, these psukim will be like a classic psukim they have all over Tanakh. Same, it's a tirade of Musar. Vayim mo'anu lahakshiv. And you have refused to listen, to hearken. The word lahakshiv is a very powerful thing. Notice the word over here, lahakshiv, is in contrast to what it said in the previous pasuk. And we concluded yesterday, pasuk Zayin, there it says, "Haloi es hadvodim asher kora Hashem b'yad hanavim harishon b'yos yushlaim yoshev v'shaleva." I'm sorry, wait, where's the pasuk? Im shemoya tishma, okay, I'm sorry. I thought it said the word to listen.
So.
Okay, I made a mistake. But fine, let's go further. Vayimuanu lahakshav, you have refused to listen, to hearken. Vayitnu choseif soy rores. You have turned your shoulder.
It's pasuk tes vav and perek vav.
Pasuk tes vav.
Pasuk tes vav, perek vav.
Okay, let's go back to pasuk. Pasuk tes vav. Uchokim yavav uvaru bech levidatim yehoshav zav l'shulachan yisrem. Right. V'chaya im shamoya tishmun v'kol Hashem elokeichem. So here, if only you will listen. Okay, but this is an entirely different nevuah. This nevuah is an entirely different time. And here it says, if you will listen. Here in this nevuah, Zechariah is saying, Hashem is saying to Zechariah, I don't want you just to listen. I want more. I want you lehakshiv. Lehakshiv connotes a more intense form of listening, a listening with intensity. Let's go further. Pasik, Yud Aleph, Vayimanu lehakshiv. You have refused to hearken. Vayitnu chosef soy rores. Now, this is a very interesting expression. This is what it means. Am kishay oref. I remember I once asked Rabbi Belsky, Zechet Tzarek Levracha, I don't know how I got into this topic, talking to him after Shir. What does it mean, Keshe Oref? So he got out of his chair. Would you believe this? To a guy like me, a little guy like me, he was a giant. He was like 7 feet. He gets out of his chair. He stands up. He stands up and he looks at him and he says, what it means is, I'm talking to you or you're talking to me. And then I turn around and show you my back. Like he turns around. And he points to the part of the neck where you put your tefillin on, the top of the head where the bone that sticks at the back of your head. You show the other person the oref. The oref means the back of the neck, specifically the top portion of the neck, as a way of being rude. If you're talking
disrespectful.
If you're talking to a person, the greatest honor you can give a person is to listen. When someone speaks to you, today this is the hardest thing in the world because everyone today is fidgety on their smartphones. You talk to them and they're not listening to you. They're typing away. They're texting away as you're talking to them. To actually find a person today that's willing to listen to you, to look you in the eye, and when you're speaking to them, it's almost an impossibility. Now, that's today, because today we have all the technology in front of us, but years ago it was a little bit easier. It was a little bit easier, so you're talking to a person. And as you're talking to the person, you look right in his eyes, you're speaking to him, and he goes and he turns backwards. He turns around 180 degrees to show you his back of his neck. So we like to translate the word am kishay oref, you're stubborn. What does that mean? What does kishay oref have anything to do with being stubborn? It's a very difficult trend. This is the common man. You say the Jewish people, they're stubborn. They're stubborn. You talk to them, you try to persuade them. They don't listen. They say, yeah, and they do whatever they want. They're stubborn people. How does that translate into the words am kishay oref? People are stiff-necked.
Well, that's not the actual translation. Yeah, stiff-necked.
But that's how we translate it.
That means being rigid and unyielding.
So he told me, Rebels, that's not what it means. He says that's a mistake. The Velt makes a mistake. They translate Keshay Oref to mean stiff-necked people who are stubborn. That's not what it means. Being stubborn is good. I don't remember, he told me it's a good thing to be stubborn. Think for yourself. Don't let people just tell you what to do. Think for yourself.
That's us. It's a double-edged sword.
No, but he's saying it's not necessarily a bad meaning to be stubborn. He's saying, what does it mean, Kishareth?
That's right, because we can stubbornly cling to our good values, and
right,
we can stubbornly cling to our bad values.
Exactly. But it's also, it's a mila. Don't follow the herd. If someone tells you something, wait a minute. How do you know that? I mean, don't just assume everything as a God-given fact. There's something as a mila to that. So what then does, if am kishay oref does not mean stubborn, what then does it mean? So he said to me, it means disrespectful. Mechutzafim. I'm speaking to you, and what are you doing? You're texting. I'm speaking to you, and you're watching a YouTube movie. I'm speaking to you, and you get up, and you turn 180 degrees, and you show me...
Rabbi, so according to the Rabbi Belsky, it should have said Sabiv, he turns around, not Kshayr, Sabayr,
many words, around. More often than not, the more we come across, the more we read Psukim, the more we learn that Psukim are not here to tell us, to be translated literally. More often than not, Psukim are expressions. Words are borrowed terms, they're expressions. This is how he explained it to me. Kishay Oref means disrespectful. I'm speaking to you. When you talk to a person, you look at them. You look at them, you look at their body language, you look at their facial expressions. There's a lot that is spoken through sight, through appearance. And then if the person that you're speaking to gets up and turns 180 degrees, and instead of looking in his eyes, you're looking at the back of his neck, you get turned off. Mechutzef, I'm talking to you. Don't go turn around. Don't turn around 180 degrees. That is the extreme, to turn around.
I'm reminded of that State of the Union message when Trump spoke and these Democrats turned their back. Got up and they turned their backs.
Exactly. It's turning your back. But when you're talking to a person, it's the same exact thing. Or in the Beis HaMikdash, what do they do? They would come to the Beis HaMikdash and they would turn backwards. Instead of facing the Heichal, the Heichal is on the west. Instead of facing west, they would face east and they would bow down to the sun and they would defecate towards the west, towards the Heichal. The ultimate show of disgrace. You turn backwards. Okay, the ultimate, look, before this whole corona broke out, that kneeling, all of these celebrities who get paid hundreds of millions of dollars, the United States is not good enough for them. They would, if not for the United, they would be in Africa somewhere climbing trees. And here they are, making more money than most people make.
Okay.
Make, and what do they do? No. When they play the national anthem, no. I can't give this country respect. I have to kneel. Okay, so this is...
I want to say something about the Oref. It's so opposite of the Panim. Panim has eyes that look at you, ears that listen to you, mouth you can talk, discuss with him. Oref, in the back, there is nothing. It's smooth. It's like a
flat. There's no opening.
So that's the... יש פשוט באיזה מקום ויפנו עורף ולא פנים. I don't know where it is.
ויפנו עורף, right. ויפנו עורף.
It's the opposite of the פנים.
Right. So our bells, right. They're openings. They're openings to accept, to give. An opening is where you accept or you give. There are seven openings on your face. The mouth, the two nostrils, the eyes. So, and when you turn around, it's smooth. There are no openings. So an opening of Pesach, you go in and go out. Rabbi Belsky said... Yodcha ba'oref o'yevecha. Yodcha ba'oref o'yevecha. So how does okay, I would have to figure out how it works.
They're running away. Running away.
Okay, but this is how he explained it to me.
Run away from you.
It's a sign of, when it says ki am kishay o'yeref, it's equivalent, he said, to what it means vayifnu o'yeref o'loy panim. The Nevi'im had their language, and in the Torah, it has its language. The Torah is Mekatzer. The Torah is Rabbi Neumann. The Torah is Mekatzer. It says Am Kishay Oref. The Torah is short on words. In the Nevi'im, they elaborate. Vayifnu Eli Oref V'loy Panim. You turn to me the Oref and not the Panim. Here,
the Moran Brachas in Haroah, at the end of the Moran, it says that where do you sit in Shul? It's initially it says you shouldn't sit in the back, but the Gemara says that's not what it means. Don't sit in the back. You could sit in the front and be over on the lav, but if you sit in the front and turn your back on the Aron Kodesh,
that's disrespectful.
That's what it means.
That's what all the Rabbanim do that. The Rabbanim sit in the Mizrach. Okay, Rabbi Ramayevsky, I apologize. I don't mean anything. I always find it very fun, the joke, when you say Yashu Koyach to the Kohanim, at Birchas Kohanim, when they finish Birchas Kohanim, why do you say to the Kohanim, Yashu Koyach, Yashu Koyach? Why do you say Yashu Koyach? Because they cleaned out the Mizrach. They drained the swamp. If you tell a rabbi, Arois, can you imagine, you tell the people in the Mizrach, get out of the shul, go to the back. I said, what? All of a sudden, the kohen walks up to the front. The whole Mizrach clears out.
That's it. I've walked
Yashikoyach. Yashikoyach to the kohanim. They drain the swamp. Okay, this is a joke. Don't take me too seriously.
This is what it means by Hibi Mei Shvot HaShoftim. You know, here we are talking about the judges, but they deserve the speech because they're not acting like judges, and that's what by Hibi Mei Shvot HaShoftim means.
Shefoit,
the lousy judges.
To judge the judges. Like I told you, could you imagine going to a Rav, I have a She'ela, and the Rav says, you have no standing. There's no such thing. Is there anything in Halacha?
Did you ever call Rabbi Big?
No, I never called Rabbi Big. What did he say?
Yeah, that's basically what it says. You know, I asked him a question, he gave me the answer, and I asked him to explain it. He said, what? Goodbye.
Okay. All right, but
what you're saying is the very opposite. It's the judges were okay, but the people disrespected them. You know, we're talking about here that judges are in the wrong. They're not administering justice.
When Moshe Rabbeinu appointed 70 judges, he said, Shomoya bein achechem ushefatetem tzedek. The first thing he said is, if you're a judge, the first thing, your job is to listen. Your job is not to say, oh, no, you have no standing. Goodbye. Shomoya bein achechem. It's pili ploim. How there can be such a system where, you can't even come to court with an argument. Forget about it. The judgment is clear. They'll paskin, you know, they'll throw you out of court. They'll decide not in your favor. Fine, but not even to have a day in court, in halacha, it does not appear there is any equivalent to this approach, this system, the secular system we have, that we live with, where there's such a thing where a person can be denied totally a day in court. It's a very interesting thing. You know, you can talk about a halachic state. I wonder what the laws are in Israel, how the Israelis, how they deal with people who come to court to present a claim, how the system is set up. Let's go further. Over here, okay, so over here, we're doing something very similar. Over here, we have the reason why I talk about Am Kishay Aref means disrespectful. Michut Sofen. Here, Vayitnu Choseif Soy Rorest. It's the same idea. Here, you've taken it, here it does not talk about the back of your neck. It talks about your shoulders. Your shoulders, soiro, like a ben sorer umore, a wayward child. A child
rebellious.
That goes, that deviates from the path. The kosef, the shoulder, we are a makabel oil malchus shamayim. We carry upon ourselves the yoke of heaven. Where do you carry the yoke of heaven? On your shoulders. When you're wayward, when you are so rores, it's another way of saying you're casting off the yoke.
Yeah, you're rebellious.
You're rebellious. But we have to understand where it's coming from. The kosef is the shoulder, which carries the yoke. And when you are so rores, you're wayward, you refuse to carry the yoke of heaven. The oznehem hichbidu mishmoya, your ears are too heavy to listen. Okay, you have heaviness, you have heavy ears, whatever that means. The term in English, the medical term is fullness of the ear. When a person has difficulty hearing, because there is some damage to the nerve or there is water in the ear, so it's called
blockage.
It's called fullness. Is that related?
Well, that's what it says by Ben Sora Mora in Enu Shomea Bikolenu.
Okay, the area says do not listen, but over here, I'm just curious over here, this is a unique expression of the word, the oznehem hichbidu. What does it mean your ears are hichbidu? They're heavy. What does that mean exactly? They're heavy. It doesn't say here that your ears don't work, they don't function. It says they're heavy. What does that mean? I don't know. In English, when a person can hear, but his hearing is impaired, the term, many often the symptoms are described with the term the fullness of the ear. The person feels there's something in his ear which is preventing him from properly hearing. So what does that mean exactly? Is that term that we use in English called fullness of the ear related? Does that come from this term called techabidu? I do not know. Let's see further. V'libam, their hearts, samu shamir mishamoya, They've set their hearts shamir. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean over here? The word shamir. Shamir means, in the Mitzudos, he translates as barzel hechazak. Iron. Now, I'm not familiar why the word shamir means iron.
Because the shamir is
the worm
that cut through the stones in order to build the Beis HaMikdash, which means its tip is extremely hard.
Ah, so you're saying that the tip, because that's what bothered me. The shamir worm is the opposite. It can cut through anything. And you're explaining to me that the reason why it's called the shamir is not because it can cut, it's because its tip. Its tip is so powerful, it's so strong, that's why it gets the title shamir. It's like, you ever see these, what's the strongest stone? Diamond, right? Is that the strongest stone? One of the strongest, these scrapers, ever see them come down the block? The scrape off the asphalt when before they repaved the streets? They scrape the streets. What do they scrape with? Diamonds. In those machines that they park on the street overnight, there are some very expensive diamonds. Industrial diamonds that are lined the entire in the machine, which scrapes off the asphalt. They don't break. They don't get ruined. So the shamir, you're saying, is called the shamir worm. The shamir worm was able to cut through stone because the tip of the shamir worm was very hard and was very hard. Okay, that's a very interesting thing. And over here, we're referring over here now to the word shamir as barzel, or as stone. The Mitsudoi said, "Yeah."
Look what he's doing with the language here. You have two letters, shin
and the mem.
Okay, shh. When you say shh, means be quiet. And which letter repeats a lot here? Bilibam, samu, shamil, mi, shemoa. When somebody talks to me and I say, I don't listen. Instead of shh, 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 ishma.
Okay, very it's good. He's playing with the language.
He uses the letter, Lashon of...
Well, you're saying there's alliteration here.
Alliteration? That's the word? Yeah. Lashon nofel al lashon.
The same letter appears.
Lashon nofel al lashon is a word, is a play on words. But right. Alliteration means that you use the same letters in consecutive words, or at least to begin the consecutive words.
Not the word, but here it's letter. Like there is a Mikoelet saying Shehem Behema Hema Lahem, also the same concept, the mem. But here it says Vilibam Samu Shamir Mi Shemoa. Chamesh Pamim Mem. He's playing with letters here, and the shin also repeats a few times here. Mi Shemoa.
Okay, let's go further. Velibam samu shamir mishemoy. They've made their hearts hard like a rock. The word shamir either means a rock or it means barzel. It means a very hard material, mishemoya, from preventing them from listening, from allowing the Torah to penetrate their hearts. As Torah v'yas advar mashashlach Hashem tzavokas beruchay. This is a new expression. Hashem sent beruchay. We don't have such type of expression in other places. That Hashem sent to Klal Yisrael through His Spirit. Biyad hanevim harishanim. That's the second time we had this expression. The nevim harishanim. We had it right before in the previous pesukim. Vayhi ketzef gadol. There will be a very great anger. Me'es Hashem tzavokai. It's pasuk gimel. Vayhi kasher korav lo shameyu. When Hashem called out to you and you did not listen. Kein yikru v'loy eshma. What is the Mida Keneged Mida? When you will need me. If when I needed you, you did not listen to me. When you will need me and you will call out to me, I will not listen. Kein yikru'u, you will call out to me in your time of need. V'loy eshma, I will not listen to you. Omar, so says Hashem Tzavokos. Pasuk Yudalet. V'e'osa'areim al kol ha'goyim. I will cause them to turn. Okay, this word means really means a storm. Okay, words a sa'ara. Sa'ara means a storm. I will I will disperse them just like a storm disperses everything. A very violent wind comes and destroys things and it throws it all over the place. The Esoareim, I will, I don't know a good English word, but Mechopai was a good word over here. I will go and I will
The translation is, I will scatter them with a whirlwind.
I will, okay, so adding a lot of words together there. I was looking for one word that captures everything. Okay, but I will, okay, fine, I will scatter them with a whirlwind. A Soara is a violent wind, a whirlwind, and Hashem's going to cause them to be scattered. I think there's a better word. There's one word which captures the entire thing, which I don't remember now. Al kol hagoyim asher lo yidu'um. This sounds like from the Haggadah. Asher lo yidu'um. But there it was referenced. It was for us. Those are different psukim. Not now. Va'aretz no shama acharehem. The land will be desolate after they go into exile. May oyveru mishav from anyone that passed from passer buyers. Vayosimu eretz chemda lishama, and they will set the enemy. Vayosimu, they will set. Who's they? We have to see who the they is. Is it the enemy or we? Our own doing, our own sins. Our own sins is the cause of eretz chemda, eretz yishol, which is called the eretz chemda, lishama, to a land of desolation. Let's review all of this in the Mitzvah stuff. Let's go back to Pasuk. The Pasuk Ches, in the Mitzudos David. Pasuk Ches, Vahid Devar Hashem. Vahid Devar Hashem. Chazar HaMakom, V'amar L'Zachariah, L'Hazkir HaDavarim Shekhar Hashem, Me'oz B'yad HaNavim V'Leim Olohem. The Mitzudos appears to be saying, at face value, that the first question we have to ask, we start with today, is this section a continuation of the previous prophecy, or is this section something entirely new? On the one hand, there's a parsha stuma, which seems to indicate that this is something entirely new. And in fact, it begins with Vayhi Divrei Hashem, Koyam Hashem Tzevokos. We have a whole new introduction. So at face value, it would appear to be something fresh, something new. Maybe these words were said to Zechariah at some other point in time in his life. Or maybe this is a direct continuation of the previous section. In the previous section, Klal Yisrael asked, the Jewish people asked Hashem, should we fast on Tisha B'Av now in the time of the Bayis Sheni? And Hashem was very disappointed with the question. And we discussed yesterday different explanations of what the question is, why Hashem was disappointed. But then at the end of Hashem's rebuke, he said, what you should really do is to listen to the words of the prophets. That's what I want you to do. Don't ask me these ridiculous questions. Focus instead on doing teshuva and learning Musa. Like I have already instructed through the Nevi'im HaRishonim. And if you want a review of what the Nevi'im HaRishonim said, well, I'll be so kind to tell you. Let's review. Let us review the essence of what the Nevi'im HaRishonim instructed you to do. That's what, now, and here we go. And now we're going to continue. So according to the Mitzudos, he appears to understand that this section is a direct continuation. It's part of the previous prophecy. Why then is your parasha stuma? Why then does it begin Vayhi Divrei Hashem El Zechariah? Why does it say Koyam Hashem Tzevokos, which are all terms which seem to indicate that it's something new? It's a good question. But the question does not take away from the simple understanding that this is a continuation. Let's go further. You should listen to what they said. Pasuk Tes, Koyam Hashem, return Lemar, Kein Om Hashem, L'Hanavim, HaRishonim, Lemar, Elohim Mishpat, Emes, Shefaitu. This is what the Nevi'im Rishonim said. Let's review. Number one, you shall judge with the Midah of Emes. Pasuk Yud, Almana, do not harm widows. Zohar Eilu Lufi Shechem Tishushe Koyach, weak, they're weaklings. V'noyach Lo'oshkam, they're vulnerable, they're victim, they can be easily victimized. Ulu Gozlam, they can be robbed. V'ro'as Al Tachshavu Zeh Al Zeh Lehara, don't plan, conspire to cause your fellow man evil harm. Pasuk Yud Aleph, you have refused to listen. The people of that generation, the Nevi'im HaRishonim, who's going now back in history, what has happened? The Nevi'im HaRishonim told them, do not listen. and they refuse to listen, learn from history. Me'anu lahakshiv v'nosnu choseif soy rores kiderech ha'odom ha'mimo'en lahakshiv divri chaveroi. A person who does not want to listen. Shemesir kiseifo mimenu, he turns his shoulders, v'hoylech lo, and disappears. The way I explained, am kishay oiref, to turn disrespectful. I'm talking to you, and the person just disappears. He picks himself up, he takes his shoulder, he turns it, meaning he makes an about face. To turn your shoulder means you make an about face, 180 degrees, and you walk away. Same idea, okay? In Osnu, all this is the same type of principle. Next, Pasuk Yud Beis, Samu Shamir. They set their hearts like the Shamir. Asulibam Chazok Ka Shamir. What is the Shamir? So in the Mitzvot Tzion, he tells us it means barzel, iron. Milishmoya esatara, refusing to listen to the Torah, biruchoi, and they refuse to listen to the words that I have spent through my spirit. What does that mean? Bimalochoi al yidei hanaviim. So he translates the words ruchoi means my messenger. Does it mean a malach? I don't know what it is, Kabbalah, but it means the words that came through the spirit of Ruach HaKodesh, of Ruach Nevuah.
Yeah, that makes more sense. That he spoke to the Nevi'im through Ruach HaKodesh.
So what does it mean, Bimalochoi? Does that mean that the Nevi'im are his agents?
No, then it's already the messenger.
They're messengers. Does not necessarily mean here ruchai mean an angel in Shemayim. Maybe it does. I don't know. That's not relevant. It's not important. Let's go further. Vayhi ketzef, and they did not listen. And that what was the result? It was anger. Uvavur zehoy ketzef gadol aleihem meis Hashem. Hashem was angry. Pasuk Yigim vayhi v'amar Hashem tzavokas. Return to Lemar. Hashem amal oz lochem shegmulam yihyeh midah b'midah. They will now be punished with the midah. Kasher karohu lohem. Just like Hashem called to them, and they did not respond. Mida keneged mida. When you will need me and you will call to me for help, I will also not respond. Mida keneged mida. Tit for tat. I will disperse them violently. See, in this week's parasha, we read about Yaakov Avinu, Achal came be Yaakov va'afitzeim be Yisrael. Two words. Achal came, to separate them, and afitzeim is to scatter. Those words are not as violent as this word. It's the same exact concept. Isn't it the same exact concept? It's ve'eso areim is to disperse. So why does it say over here ve'eso areim, and why by Shimon and Levi, does it say Achalakim and Va'afitzeim? The answer is, those are delicate dispersals. To separate Achalakim, to divide, it means I send you away, you know, first class, business class. Va'afitzeim maybe doesn't mean business class, but it means at least you have a seat to sit in. At least you go, you know, you go coach. At least you're on the airplane. The word over here, ve'es so'are, means you'll march naked to your exile. It's a violent type of dispersal. The result is the same. You're sent far, far away, all over the place. Question is, how did you get there? Did you go business class, coach, or did you walk?
So the CN says like a tornado.
That's what we said. We said that a few times.
That's exactly right.
A Sa'ara.
In the Tzavim, when it says Biafu Bechemo Bekezev Gadol, there's three levels of anger.
Af Chemo Ketzev.
There is three levels. Seething, you yell and scream a little bit, and then there's the final combination of both, is the explosion, like the nuclear blast.
A violent dispersal. Okay,
can I suggest something?
Yes, of course.
Kalman mentioned what's the expression? Lashon Nafel al Lashon, and that's what I think that word is. on the one hand, Sa'ar is the storm or whirlwind.
Yeah.
And Esa from the root Nasa, to travel.
Okay.
And so a storm that scatters.
Okay. Maybe that's why a storm does is called a Sa'ara. Because a storm is something which
storm, but I think it's a play on words.
Okay,
here.
Okay. Very good, very good. Further in the Mitzudais,
it's not between Shimon and Levi. So ma'achal ken beYaakov, because the Sa'arim al kol hagoyim.
The whole, right.
I mean,
right there. All right there. That was a broch. That was just saying that Rashi. Right, it means there within Klal Yisrael. Well,
the
teachers, Seifrim, Anim, three things he says there. Poor people, scribes, and Melamdei Tinoikos. And Levi is Mechazer al Hagronos. They're going to have to go and look for Truma. People are going to have to go and ask people to give handouts. Okay, so, but of course, that's within Eretz Yisrael. Here we're talking about Golos. They're going to be scattered throughout the entire world. Okay, but the idea is the same. It's talking about scattering. There is a delicate scattering, and there is a violent scattering. Further, the land will be desolate. Okay, let's go to the next page. Page 779. And they, so he learns, like I told you, the Mitzvah stuff it says is who made the land into a land of desolation? The Jews themselves. You did it to yourselves. You shot yourself in the foot. You have no one to blame but yourselves. No one did this to you but yourselves. L'shmama ki im kol advar mo'ila ochazu bidarkom. They continued to do these evil ways, all of the things that are listed over here to commit all of these crimes and all of these bad midos. The golem imena ba'avoyna. And that's what caused them to be exiled in their own sins. V'nishado shmama. And the land is desolate. U'musav l'malo loymar. And it's referring back to what we learned above. Hashem says, now he again, the mitzvot over here, as we explained, is learning that this section is a direct continuation of what we learned above. It all started with a question. The question was, do we have to fast on Tisha B'Av? And Hashem says, what kind of question is this? What kind of question is this? In the mitzvot David, we learned a lot of different ideas. We have to try to separate each idea alone. But the mitzvot David, his approach pretty much was it's a good question and you'll get an answer, but that's not what's important. What's the priority is not the detailed halacha. It's the moral lesson of the halacha. You have to follow the halacha. Don't chas v'shalom think that as long as you get the message, you don't need to go shake l'ol v'nesher. That's a apikorsis. There's a halacha, and you'll figure out the halacha. Someone will tap you on the back and tell you what to do, but your focus is all wrong. You're focusing on the details of the halacha and not focusing and not reflecting upon the message of the mitzvah, the message of Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a day of Churban. It's a day to reflect. It's not a day to focus on the shiurim of how much you're not allowed to eat, what to do, what not to do. That's not what it's about. It's about the musar that lies in the day. So now the Mitzvah stuff is tying this whole section that we learned today back to the beginning of what we learned yesterday. And he finally concludes with the words, Umusav lamala. These last psukim are referring back to what we learned above. Hine, kol chefsi b'masim tovim, v'al zeh his hartiyas avosechem v'avur zeh, Hog Lasem. Do you know why there is a Tisha B'Av to begin with? Do you even know why there is a Tisha B'Av? You're coming to ask me about the detailed laws of Tisha B'Av. Forget about asking me the laws of Tisha B'Av. Why don't you ask me why is there a Tisha B'Av? You know why? Because your forefathers were Bale Avera. That's why there is a Tisha B'Av. So before you ask me about the details of the laws of Tisha B'Av, know why there is a Tisha B'Av and prevent it from happening again or repair the damage. Uvavuzeh.
Abarbanel adds, you're asking me about this, but what about the Sarbat Tevis? In other words, what about what the other fast days at Chop Liver?
Well, that was another question. That was another issue we discussed. Right. We mentioned that also. That was also discussed yesterday.
Right.
But over here, you're saying over here is you're asking me about the details of the laws. First, ask me, why is there a Tisha B'Av? Isn't that more important? And that you don't know, that you're not concerned about, that you couldn't care less about. Because you're concerned what to do on this day. Your priorities are distorted. Focus on why there's a Tisha B'Av. And then we'll figure out the halachas of the Tisha B'Av. Uvavur zeh hogle sem. The reason why they went into exile is because they did not follow the mitzvos. Al shlush shalom oyle b'dor zeh avol mi oylem loy b'kashim mi divrei hatzoymais. The Tisha B'Av, the laws are just a result. The primary thing is there should not have been a Tisha B'Av, and that you're not concerned with. Let's see Rashi. Okay, quickly, Rashi. Rashi, pass the good base.
There is expression here. I remember once Rabbi Leo Landman, Zichrono Livracha, gave a speech on Shabbat. It was Yom Atzmaut. It says, in Birkat HaMazon, it says, Eretz Chemda Tova Urchava. It says, it's not Urchava, it's so narrow. It was in the time that...
So why is it called Urchava? Yeah, good question, yeah.
So it says, if it's Eretz Chemda, then it's Urchava.
It's Rechava, beautiful, okay.
This is what he said. I still remember it. Maybe 20 years.
Don't complain.
If you like it, if you like, there's enough room. There's room for everybody.
Very beautiful, beautiful. It's a beautiful word. Let's see Rashi very quickly. One of Rashi, Pasuk Yud Beis, Samu Shamir Torlas Chazak Mitzur. So Rashi disagrees with the Malbum and with the Mitzudais. The Mitzudais, in his translation, and the Mitzudais Sioni says it means Barzel. And the Malbum says it means a rock, and he says it's the Talas, okay, the Talas Chazak Mitzur, and we're referring to this creature is stronger. Marin Oisay Aleven, and this is something which they use to cut the stones in the Mikdash, because in the Mikdash we have the Mizbeach, we have a halacha leSonif Alehem Barzel. You're not allowed to put upon the Mizbeach Barzel. And the way they cut the stones in the Beis HaMikdash was through this worm, this tarlas. Marin oisoy alo evin dihi mis ba ka'as. They would give it a guide. They would set a guide on the stone. It would follow the guide, and it would do its thing and cause the stone to crack along the line. Pasuk Yugimel, vayihi kasher kara v'loy shameyu, om Hashem tzivokos. Hashem now teaches the Jewish people history, how Tisha B'Av came about. I called out to them through the prophets to do teshuva, and they did not listen. Amar Hashem tzvokas aleihen bo'oison hayomim, and mida k'neged mida kein yikru'u v'loy eshma. I'm not going to listen to you. Pasuk yudalid ve'e so'arem. I will scatter you in a violent way. Bagolos v'chein asisi. That's what I told your ancestors. And I did it. Pasuk next words of Rashi, Vayasimu ba'avoinam eretz chemda, and through their sins they set their beautiful land, the eretz chemda l'shama, v'hu goram lohem hatzoim, they're the cause of the tzoim v'hamispeit aval atah. But now, kinesi litzion, I have acquired you, b'shvil tzion akane es hagoyim, on behalf of tzion I will take revenge from the goyim. In other words, Rashi concludes by teaching us what we started today, that this section, not only does it have nothing to do with the previous section, this section is the beginning of the next section. Okay, this section is leading into the next parak. And that's what I meant before with the chapter breaks. Who put in these chapter breaks? The Christians. And we always say that in every chapter break, we almost guarantee the message that the chapter break presents is pure apikorsis. In every perek in the entire Tanakh, you can literally go through every single perek and show that the message that is being sent by putting a break here at this location, after studying the Mefarshim, you will clearly understand that the Christians who put the brake here are trying to steal the Torah from us, are trying to deny the authenticity of Torah Hashem Tamima, as Rabbi Rakefet would always say. They're trying, according to Rashi, according to the Mitzudos, maybe it's not so bad. According to the Mitzudos, he clearly demonstrates that everything we learned today is a conclusion of the previous Nevuah. And now we're done. It's nice, we're done. We can now begin the next Perek. Okay, it's not so bad. According to the Mitzudos, it's not so terrible that Perek Ches begins over here. But according to Rashi, or certainly the Christians certainly saw the Rashi, because the Mitzudah Stavah was not yet written at the time when the Christians put in the chapter breaks. But at the time that the chapter breaks were written, were inserted after Rashi. Okay, I think that's a given. The chapter breaks were put into the text long after Rashi wrote his commentary, and it was studied and it was known. And according to Rashi, Rashi just made a very powerful statement that everything that we learn today, starting with Pasuk Ches, is an introduction to the next section. Where we'll see how it all leads in. We have to see how it leads in. Okay, we're out of time now, but how it leads into the next section. So therefore, according to Rashi, if you would ask Rashi, Rashi would say, do not put a chapter break in between this pasuk and the next pasuk, because it solidifies, it supports the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us the land, we have sinned, and now when we will do teshuva, it will become our land once again. But the Christians don't want us to return. So they have to go, and they have to conclude, oh, you Jews, you're done. Your own God told you you're finished. You made vayu simu eretz chemda l'shama. You, the old ancient Jews, have made your holy land into a land of desolation, and you're done. And now you have been replaced. God has exchanged you for the Christians. What better place, according to the Christians, is there to make a chapter break than right here? This is like this is like a home run for them. This is a field day for the Christians. Look at that. Look what it says. What is Christianity all about? Ramchol, what was your term of Christianity? They have Hashem has replaced us with them.
I gotta push a button.
Replacement theology. Christianity of Michal has summarized the entire Christian.
Not my term, you know.
The entire Christian ideology, the entire Christian doctrine with two words. Replacement theology. Everything is true. There's an Old Testament. Once upon a time, there was a lot of hope for the ancient Hebrews to become the chosen nation. But look what it says in this pasuk in Zechariah, in Perek Zion. It says, Vayosimu eretz chemda l'shama, that the ancient Hebrews themselves have destroyed their own land. So do you think God wants to continue with these people? Of course not. They're done. They're finished. So God has replaced us with the Christians. That's the summary, the long and short of Christianity. Replacement theology. So for them, when they read this pasuk, there couldn't be a better place in the world to put a chapter break, as if to say, we're done. We're done. Rashi says, no. We're just getting started here. We're just getting started. Our Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'kam. The way it goes, the way we rise, the way we come close to Hashem is through falling. Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'kam. And thus, don't stop here. What kind of nonsense is it to put a chapter break over here? This is just a warm-up. But, like I told you, literally every single chapter break, whoever put these chapter breaks, was thoroughly obsessed to rewrite the Bible from a Christian perspective. and they put every chapter break in order to distort the meaning of the psukim. And this is a great example. Great example. You can't really get better than this. But the truth is, we do this many times. All over, we have this. Sometimes it's super obvious, and sometimes it's not so obvious. All right, we're going to take a very short break, and then we're going to do some chumash. We'll be back in 30 seconds. Baruch Hashem, good. How are you? How's everything?